Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you on this fine Tuesday?
Well, it is Tuesday. Sadly, we were not able to record yesterday as you were stuck in traffic for 4 hours at work because of the snowstorm we were hit with up in the Northwest PA. So, but other than that, I'm good. We're a day late on recording, but we still get to talk playoff football. And as well as that, Steelers news on top of it. So I'm doing fairly well. How are you?
Good, man. I'm excited to get going on this. The off-season stuff is starting to happen. We're seeing some signings. We got some coaching movement already. Lots of exciting things, man. So this is my my exciting time of year. I love the NFL draft process and free agency and all that stuff.
Yeah, I almost think you're not a Steelers fan as much as you are an off-season fan.
I'm like a team-building guy. You know, I love that stuff.
It's awesome. All right, so as always, Steelers by the Lake news first. We have new Podbean page likes, one from Grant Ruth 87, and then one from PBG2B3EDGPP. Not sure what kind of username that is, but we still appreciate the like. We also have an episode like on one of our episodes on Podbean as well from Nick Webb. So thank you, Nick.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Facebook likes. Got a few more of them this week. Vicky Robinson, Lee Wayne, Dane Brian McCray, Anthony Rohde, and Jeff Skaggs. Appreciate it, guys. You actually got us to 300 likes on Facebook this week.
Yeah,
absolutely. Really, that's a big number for us.
That's insane. It's awesome to see you guys coming together around the Steelers, and specifically the Steelers by Lake podcast. Do keep an eye. We are going to be posting a celebratory post probably either today or tomorrow for the 300 likes, and we appreciate that very much. Going right into Steelers news, by now everyone should know we did release running back Trey Edmonds. That is the brother of Terrell and Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine still being in the playoffs with the Bills at middle linebacker, and Terrell being our safety. So that was big news. Kind of expected it to happen, but at the same time, sad to see him go, but he was never really played. He never played much.
No, and it was just a technicality, honestly. So that just signified that he had cleared the injured reserve protocol, because he finished the season on injured reserve from the practice squad. So later on in the week, we actually found out that he was signed to a futures contract along with Jaron Jones, who is the offensive tackle that was put on the injured reserve like week 17 or something like that. So kind of a technicality move. I think they knew all along that as soon as he cleared the waiver process, we were going to get him back. So that's all that was right there. Chukwuma Okorafor is going to receive a proven performance escalator bonus. So he's going to get an extra $1.32 million for his play.
That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, I'll come on the team and play for a day or two for $1.32 million. Let's go.
So the way that works is for lower round draft pick guys, and he was a third round pick, if you play above a certain percentage, and I think the number's 35% on a total average for the first three seasons you're on the team. Well, he started and played almost every single play this year, which put him just barely above that number because he didn't really play much the first two seasons.
Yeah, I wish we would have seen that much play out of Derek Watt this year. I feel like we saw him maybe 2%.
If there were 35 plays, not 35%.
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of Steelers fullbacks, former Steelers fullback Tim Lester passed away, sadly. He was known as the bus driver. Real sad to see that happen, but our thoughts and prayers are with the family. And just sad to see our former Steeler pass away.
Young guy, too. He was only in his 50s. You hate to see somebody go that early in life. He was an excellent fullback, man. I remember him just ramming into people. Shorter guy, real stocky build to him. I think he was only like 235 pounds, but he was also only like 5'9".
Yeah.
So it's
back in the day when we used to use fullbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Freaking offensive coordinator can't call plays this year. But speaking of James,
he's gone. Randy Feitner has been given the boot, and not in a normal way. Pittsburgh doesn't ever seem to fire coaches. They just don't renew their contracts when they expire. So we had a number of those this week, with most notably offensive coordinator Randy Feitner. He just got too predictable with the play calling. You know, it was all over. Team after team said we knew what was coming. The defensive linemen didn't even bother rushing the quarterback, which was something that you noticed when five games in a row Ben Roethlisberger didn't get sacked. They weren't trying. They just got to the line and put their hands up and batted the ball down because it was so predictable what was happening. And another thing that was struggling as the season went on, which was weird, you know, we started off with a good running game first 5-6 weeks. All of a sudden, we had no running game, couldn't run block to save our lives. So offensive line coach Sean Serrett was also not renewed on a new contract. So we're going to see a new offensive line coach.
Yeah, and then on top of that, on the defensive side of the ball, our secondary didn't play up to par as to what we expected. So with that being said, defensive backs coach Tom Bradley was released. You kind of expected more productivity, at least as far as turnovers was concerned.
Yeah, and that was kind of a move that probably they saw coming as well, just because the year previous they signed a coach from the Cincinnati Bengals, and he's a secondary specialist, right? That's what he does. Terrell Austin's his name. He's been around the league for a number of years. And Terrell Austin, when you saw practices, he was the guy running the show. Tom Bradley was just kind of a figurehead at this point. And Tom Bradley's been with the Steelers long enough that he didn't really develop anyone. The only guys that have played well since he's been with the team have been guys that they got from other teams. So when we saw Terrell Austin come into play, all of a sudden you see better play from Mike Hilton, see better play from Cameron Sutton. You start seeing some development. So that's going to be your DB coach in the future here is Terrell Austin. With look for a possibility of him even developing more involved in future years, maybe even a defensive coordinator down the road if something were to happen to our current defensive coordinator.
So with that being said, the last coaching update we had was the tight ends coach, James Daniel. Although didn't have anything to do with us not re-signing him or anything like that, but James Daniel, the tight end coach, did retire, and he's been with us for a number of years now.
Yeah, 17 years.
Yeah, all the way back to before Heath Miller, basically.
Yeah, Heath was his last real big-name talent that he got. You know, I mean, Vance was traded for, Eric Ebron brought in free agency. Even there was a tight end before them that we brought in and just didn't pan out because of injuries. So he's been around and he's made some things happen. You know, even Jesse James was a fifth round pick, turned into a pretty nice career for a fifth round pick. And you have to give some credit to a guy like James Daniels for pulling the talent out of those guys.
Oh, 100%. So at the end of every year, you see a lot of signings happen. What that is that's not us adding new players most of the time or anything like that, at least at first. All that is signing the players that you had on your practice squad or signing players that you had on the injured reserve and all that kind of stuff. So we saw 13 players signed to the reserve or future contracts. You got guys like tight end Kevin Radar, wide receiver Anthony Johnson, wide receiver Cody White, offensive tackle Anthony Coyle, offensive tackle Brandon Walton, safety John Battle, middle linebacker Tigray Scales, defensive tackle DeMarcus Christmas, defensive end Calvin Taylor, punter Corliss Waitman, long snapper Christian Kuntz, offensive tackle John Leglou, and cornerback Trevor Williams.
Yeah, and I think a few notable names on this. Obviously, Pittsburgh's going to be real strapped for cap space this upcoming season, right? So there's a few of them that I think actually have a legitimate chance of either making the team or having an impact, maybe even being on the practice squad again next year or impact in preseason games. First one, Kevin Radar, really sticks out to me. He's been on the practice squad a few years in a row now. He got a chance to play against the Browns in the last regular season game, and he looked good. Specifically in the blocking game, real nice aggression from him. I like how he went after people, a good tenacity, stuck to it, and great energy. So
so that made me laugh.
So I'd like to see him in the preseason next year. Honestly, he could possibly hold a role because you only have so many picks. I think Pittsburgh holds 9 draft picks right now, with some compensatory picks expected to be coming as well. So hopefully most of those guys can make the team because they'll be affordable guys on lower budget. But Kevin Radar is the first one that I think we should look out for. Number two, Anthony Coyle. They brought him up from the practice squad a few times this year. So it's somebody with some offensive tackle experience that they did at least like enough to be next man up from the practice squad as the season went on. Middle linebacker Tigray Scales also was brought and elevated from the practice squad multiple times. Now, it was a little bit weird of a year. Ran through a lot of middle linebackers with all the injuries this year. So not necessarily someone who got there due to exposing great talent as much as a great weakness with all the injuries that happened on the team. DeMarcus Christmas was a priority guy. They signed him right after the preseason, hung on the practice squad all year long. So with the possibility of losing Tyson Alualu, we never really saw great performances out of Carlos Davis or Isaiah Bugs this year. So the defensive tackle position is something that they're still looking for answers. Could be a possible solution there. Calvin Taylor, the defensive end from North Carolina, was an undrafted rookie this year. 6'9" defensive end always is going to turn heads. He never got a chance to actually play. I want to see him play against some backup offensive linemen in the preseason, see if he can make some of them look stupid. And then Corliss Waitman was on the practice squad all year long. Again, Jordan Berry did not really wow anyone this year, so I do see them keeping Corliss Waitman around to compete with him unless they draft a punter, which I would not be opposed to, and I think they would probably consider that sixth or seventh round this year. So all those guys I feel could make some impact, possibly even make the roster next year. So be very interesting to see how that goes in the future.
Yeah, listen, you want to talk about impact. Probably one of the most impactful rookies we had last year, Chase Claypool, has some news for him. He got a new deal with Nike and Jordan.
That's huge, man.
That's impressive.
Yeah, for a second-round draft pick, usually that only goes to your elite players. They aren't signing just anybody. So he built enough of a brand of himself, and honestly, you probably got to give a little bit of credit to Juju on that. Because Juju does an excellent job of building his brand and getting his name out there and being exposed in the public. And he's gotten a lot of criticism from it. But Chase has built his own brand enough that a very huge brand in the Jordan brand signed him. So very cool for him.
Yeah, great business move on his part, making sure that no matter what happens, because we've seen this happen time and time again. I remember back to Le'Veon Bell not wanting to sign his contract because if he gets hurt, you know, he's out of multi-millions of dollars due to his contract. Same thing happened with Earl Thomas. You saw Earl Thomas flip off the sideline when he got hurt because they were signing him to a longer deal to guarantee him money. This is Chase Claypool, and people can, you know, give him hate all they want, but this is Chase Claypool preparing for the future, saying, hey, even if football doesn't pan out for me, if I break a leg or have a ACL, MCL, PCL tear to like wreck my knees, there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to ruin him because he has these deals in place with other businesses or other brands or whatever. So again, people can give him hate all they want, but I think it's a smart move for him. And it's not exactly distracting. We've seen, you know, Tom Brady. No one talks about Tom Brady having a brand. He literally has his own TB12.
Like, yeah.
It's a real thing that players do, and that's an awesome opportunity for Chase Claypool.
And it's a really smart thing for a guy that's not a first-round pick because realistically, when you're on your rookie deal, you're not making anywhere near as much money as what those first-round guys are, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can play your butt off, and your second contract can be an amazing contract, but realistically, what you get on that rookie deal is boxed in for 4 years. There's nothing you can do on the field to make any more money, but you can create your own personal brand and make a lot of money off the field. So he'll probably make more money in his off-the-field deals in his first 4 years in the league than he will in his on-the-field deals, which is kind of crazy. But that's just the way the NFL is. So good move on his part. Do you want to move on to these postseason games?
Right? Yeah. There's nothing too crazy to talk about other than the fact that the most exciting part that I'm going to give away already, because I'm assuming everyone that's listening has already seen the games or seen the outcomes. I'm proud to say and happy to say there are no more AFC North teams in the playoffs.
Sorry to those of you who support us that are Browns fans, because I know there are a couple of you, and we really appreciate your support.
But we also really appreciate you guys choking against the Chiefs and the backup quarterback, Chad Henne.
Yeah. I mean, first I want to start with the Packers and the Rams game, right?
Yep, we're going to go in the order they appeared on screen over the weekend.
And realistically, I think most folks had the Packers as a pretty large advantage going into this game. And they showed it all over the field. Aaron Rodgers is just an incredible player in the way he plays in the playoffs. good luck beating them. I don't know how this is going to go for Tom Brady going to the cold like that. I guess he's used to it from New England and all, but the rest of that Tampa Bay team ain't too used to playing in Green Bay.
And he's probably accustomed to that nicer weather, so we'll see how he handles it in Green Bay, because you know it's going to be cold this weekend.
Yeah, but Aaron has just had a tremendous year. I would not be surprised if he ends up with MVP of the entire league for his performance this year.
I think I'd be shocked if he wasn't the MVP.
Yeah, the touchdown to interception ratio this year is incredible with him, man. Yeah, I think he almost threw 50 touchdowns and only like 4 or 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
Ridiculous numbers this year. So very interesting to see how the NFC Championship game plays out. But no surprise from us seeing the Packers kind of jump out to an early lead and keep that lead. Now, that second game, Bills-Ravens, that was a slow start, man.
It was a very slow start. I did not expect the first quarter to go by that fast with that limited number. I think it was still like 3-0 at the end of the first. Bills had put up 3, and that was it. And then the second at the halftime, I'm pretty sure it was 3-3.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a very slow game. And luckily in the second half, Bills said, hey, let's put up some points. They put up 2 touchdowns. Held the Ravens out of the end zone for the rest of the game. Great job. Lamar Jackson did go down with an injury at some point. And I can't remember Huntley. They had come in and almost finished off the game. So I don't know. I'm just happy again that the Ravens lost and they're at the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think the biggest surprise to me in this game was Justin Tucker. He hit both uprights, man.
He did.
He hit the left upright, and then he hits the right upright on 2 different kicks. You never see this guy miss a field goal, period.
Nothing makes me happier, though, than seeing his reaction. Dude, yeah. His eyes get big.
He's just dumbfounded. He could not believe that he just missed 2 kicks like that.
It's almost like he's a robot, and he is just, you know, designed to make it, and then when he misses, he's just so flustered and so confused.
And I think this too shows a little bit of a blueprint for stopping the Ravens in the future. Now, not anybody can do it, right? But when you show a commitment to stopping their run game, don't leave your safeties deep. They don't really have a deep threat. Lamar Jackson isn't out there throwing for 300 yards on a regular basis. He's typically under 200 yards passing. So don't keep your safeties deep. Keep your safeties up to help out with that read option that they run on almost every single play. And if you have athletic linebackers like a Tremaine Edwards, Edmonds, you can really make a difference in their run game. The Ravens tried and ran and ran and ran and ran the ball, but they did not allow them to have an extended amount of success in the run game. And then they just don't have the potent passing game to make it happen in the end.
No, so Saturday ended on a good note with the Ravens losing. Sunday started on a phenomenal note with the Browns losing in Kansas City. It was a closer game than I expected. I'll give the Browns that. The weird thing about the Browns was going into this this entire playoffs, they're the only team to make the playoffs this year that had a negative point differential. They were outscored by their opponents throughout the entire regular season, which I thought was an impressive stat that they somehow managed to make it into the playoffs. But the other thing is, the only quarter through the entire year that they were positive point differential in was the second. And Kansas City held them to 0 points in the second quarter. So I think that just shows that Andy Reid looks into these things, and I bet you he changed up his play calling in the second quarter because he realized how strong of a second quarter team they were.
Yeah, and kind of a night and day difference on this entire game. Once Patrick Mahomes went out, the Browns really came alive. I feel like the Browns offense kind of had that shark mentality. The blood was in the water and they knew it. They got more aggressive. They really started converting more plays. David Njoku had a heck of a game. He really did. I think he was the best player on that offense for the Browns that whole game, which is crazy because he's going into the last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
And the Browns had really kind of pushed him aside all year, using him as the number 3 tight end. I felt like he was the best tight end on the field for them that game. Not the best tight end on the field on both teams because Kelsey went off with 109 yards receiving, but yeah. That's kind of what Travis Kelsey does.
Yep.
But I think the Browns will probably focus on the defensive side of the ball in the upcoming draft and come back even stronger next year, which is kind of scary, honestly, because I don't think anybody really saw him at 11-5 coming into the season.
No, definitely not.
A lot of people 8-8, maybe even, you know, 9-7.
Or 7-9,
either side
of that. You figure
something like that, you know. A lot of people thought the Browns would be improved from last year. But this much improved, not too many people saw that coming. So
listen, player of the game, Rashard Higgins, 100%. Thank you for fumbling that ball through the end zone, my dude. Thank you for it. I appreciate it. You're hired.
Very controversial call, man. A lot of the announcers made sure to point out the helmet-to-helmet contact on the play. What they did not point out, though, of course, because you're not going to have that, is a very, very blatant hold by Wyatt Teller on the play. Right after the snap, he grabs the defensive lineman opposite him, the front of the jersey, both hands, just pulls him straight to the ground.
So that's old, man. Any of your Browns haters that you guys have in your life give you an issue about that play, you go show them the replay and you show them that massive holding call. Because if they're going to complain about a penalty that wasn't called on the defense, they need to be okay with the penalty that wasn't called on the offense.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. You can't just say, hey, I want them to review only plays that'll go in my favor penalty-wise. You got to review the entire play at that point. So if you're going to say we have to review the contact of the helmet, well, then you ought to be reviewing whether or not there was a hold, too, and there was an extremely blatant one on the play, unfortunately. But penalties went pretty heavily in the favor of the Browns in that game. They only had 3 penalties called against them, 7 against the Chiefs. So overall, tough to say that the refs were going against them that game.
I agree. And then the late game, the last game of the divisional round, you had the Buccaneers going into New Orleans to play the Saints. The first time Tom Brady and Drew Brees ever met. And listen, I got to tell you something. I hate this meme that I saw this week, but I also love it because I'm not a Cowboys fan. But Tom Brady, since 1997, has been to the NFC Championship game one time now. The Dallas Cowboys have not been there once in that same time frame. And I think that's funny. But anyways, going back to the game, Tom Brady played well. You know, he had 199 yards passing, 18 of 33 for 2 touchdowns. Drew Brees wasn't horrible other than the fact that he couldn't complete the ball to his own players. three interceptions is not going to win you the game, sir.
And Drew refused to push the ball down the field. It was like watching the Steelers in that stretch with Washington where they lost 3 games in a row, and Ben just wasn't throwing the ball down the field. Everything was short. Everything was a dump off. Drew was doing that. And you saw that from him early in the regular season. Then it came to like mid-season and he started pushing it down the field successfully. I don't know what the reason was that he was scared to go down the field, but it was the difference in the game. You got to be able to push the ball down the field. Brady didn't make mistakes. Brees did. That kind of summarizes it, honestly. And I hate to see it because I wish Brady would just lose and retire already. I don't want to see him win games anymore. But I'm really hoping that this 3 o'clock kick between the Bucks and Packers starts early with the Packers and ends strong with the Packers. I want to see a 50 burger from the Packers,
man. I would love to see it. I'll tell you what, this is the frustrating part for me. I want to see the Packers win, obviously. I don't want to see Tom Brady make it to the Super Bowl again. However, I'm so conflicted between wanting the Bills to go to the Super Bowl or the Chiefs because I do love the Chiefs. And I love seeing Patrick Mahomes play well because it's enjoyable. If I can't root for the Steelers, I'd like to root for them. But I have so many friends that are Bills fans, and it would also be really cool to see them make it. And Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and all those guys deserve it just as much as anybody else. But I'm conflicted because my fear is that we're going to see a State Farm Super Bowl. That's my fear.
Yeah, we had the possibility of it last year. It almost happened. Could happen this year. Tough to tell, but I'm with you on this. Like, I'm all Packers on the NFC. I don't want to see Tampa make it, especially since the game's in Tampa.
Yeah.
We don't need them having that advantage.
And listen, I've been telling people this, and no one believes me. I think Brady went to the Bucs for one reason. He wants to be the only quarterback ever to win a Super Bowl for the team that the city is hosting the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, on this Bills-Chiefs game, I'm in that position too, man. We're like, I don't mind the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, pretty easy dude to cheer for. Seems like a real nice guy. Love that he puts ketchup on everything he eats. That's pretty cool, man. Uh-oh. Cringeworthy moment for Cody.
No, I just had a revelation that I don't want the Chiefs to go.
Yeah?
I don't want the Chiefs or the Buccaneers because they have 2 ex-Steelers on them that are going to brag about making it to the Super Bowl if they do, when neither of them have done anything for their teams all year.
Nah, Antonio's been a bigger thing for the Bucs than Le'Veon.
But still,
been
not
for
even
Chiefs,
anything.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side of that Chiefs-Bills matchup, I'm with you. I've got a lot of friends that are Bills fans. That's kind of a thing up here in Northwest Pennsylvania. We're right in the middle of Bills country, Browns country, and Steelers country. We make anywhere we go Steelers country. I'll tell you that for sure. But we got a lot of friends that are Bills fans that are pretty rational people, man. I don't know
Carson.
That,
Carson.
Yeah, I don't know that I know any Bills fans that are like ignorant jerks about how they cheer. They're pretty rational folks, and it makes it easy to back them. So I'd love to see the Bills win against the Chiefs. I'd even love to see the Bills win against the Buccaneers or Packers. And if it becomes Bills-Buccaneers and the Bills get the chance to just put that foot in Brady's throat and end his career by beating him in the Super Bowl, man, that would be a sweet thing to see.
It would be. And I'll tell you what, I have a bunch of friends, like we both do, that are Bills fans. If you happen to see on the next – well, I guess they're not going to be at home, but if you happen to see – maybe if they go to the Super Bowl, he'll go there or she'll go there. I have a friend who's a Bills fan, and her dad is the Buffalo Elvis guy that always has the guitar. And I saw her and her dad on the halftime, right before halftime last week at the Bills game. So that was really cool just to see them on TV. That's Abby Lang and then her dad. It's just awesome to see the Bills Mafia finally get something, especially because they're the only team to go to the Super Bowl four times in a row and lose all four.
I'll tell you right now, if you want to celebrate like they do, you better get your folding table now because they're going to buy all of them everywhere.
They are. They
break
really
every table known to man. So that's some pretty fun stuff. Now, looking forward to the next week's episode. Obviously, we're going to be recapping these conference championship games and talking about the upcoming Super Bowl a little bit. Maybe even give you our Super Bowl predictions for what's going to go on, including some scores.
Maybe.
Also, by next week, we ought to know who the four replacement coaches are for the vacancies on the Steelers roster right now. There's a rumor going around Matt Canada has already got the offensive coordinator job for Pittsburgh. I'd kind of like to see it, honestly. I think he's a creative guy, and he'll be able to do the plays off of other plays out of the same formation to keep defenses on their heels. I'd like to see it personally. I think he's creative enough to make it fun.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. There's not many other options that I can think of that I would prefer other than him, just for the simple fact that we're not going to pick up some of these great offensive coordinators that are coaching for other teams right now. It just doesn't happen like that. Typically, you have to find a skill position coach or a specialty coach and then upgrade them to an offensive coordinator. It's not often you see an offensive coordinator get signed from one team to another team for the same position. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, you get promoted to a different position.
Yeah.
So, again, very excited for the future. Keep an eye coming up in the future of these podcasts. We're also going to start doing some mock drafts, maybe even get Anthony Smith back on here, talk draft picks. Real exciting things coming up, and we are super excited to just see what the offseason is going to have to hold. James is super excited. The offseason is his season. So
this is it, man. We're going to do some alternating weeks, so not necessarily starting next week as we still got some big activity going on with the coaching jobs and then also some more deals going on with players, I'm sure. But we're going to go, like, I'll do a mock draft one week, Cody will do one the next, and then we'll go in depth on the players and why we feel that the Steelers should go after certain players in certain rounds. Also, we're going to do a little bit kind of like we did last year, run some mock drafts during our podcasts.
Absolutely.
Do them live.
Do them live with you, maybe even Facebook Live.
Facebook Live, live pod, live mock draft. I like it.
You like it, James. I love it. Again, this is going to wrap up this week's podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it more than you know. Make sure you give us a follow. Give us a shout out. Tag us on things on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you want us to look. Send us emails of things, questions, whatever. We just want to hear from you guys. And super excited to see what this offseason holds and get back to winning mentality for next year.
Also, don't forget those 5-star reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts. That helps us a ton. We had another one come through this week with no actual review, just the ratings. So really appreciate that, folks. And we will shout you out when you do those reviews for us. Don't forget to tell your friends. We are in the middle of what is projected to be the best month we have ever had on this podcast, and it's thanks to you guys.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much. Be sure to, again, like, follow Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Steelers by the Lake. Until next time, this is your hosts, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.